Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll be reading at verse number 14. Father in heaven, we bow now before you to the throne of grace for help in time of need. And Lord, we pray for the power of God to be present while we preach today your holy word. I pray, Lord, that I'd only preach what you'd have me to preach. The Holy Ghost of God would guide my thoughts and my heart, my mind and my lips, O God. I pray that Jesus Christ would be lifted up and glorified. I pray the word of God be preached plain and simple for a little child to be understood. God, I pray today that you'll reach down the hearts of people and preach to them on the inside while I'm preaching from the outward. And Holy Ghost of God, do the work in people's hearts that need to be done. I pray, God, today, those that are lost in the sound of my voice, God, today, that you'll convict them of sin and draw them by the grace of God, by the Spirit of God, the truth of God, to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. God, help men to believe on Jesus today, their only hope. God, I pray those that are lost, that the fear of God would come upon them and a dread of hell and judgment. Dying without Jesus Christ, Lord, I pray, save the lost today. Reward the sufferings of your Son. Then, Lord, I pray today for your children that are here. Lord, a lot of needs, Lord. Maybe they're discouraged. Maybe, Heavenly Father, going through hard times. Maybe there's sickness, Lord, pain and suffering. Lord, maybe things that I don't have a clue, but oh God, you're all present, all powerful, and you can meet their need today. And I pray, Lord, they'd bring their burdens to you and cast them upon you, Lord, knowing that you care for them. God, remind folks today that are saved that you'll never leave them nor forsake them. God, remind them, Lord, that you'll never lie to them about nothing, that your word is yea and yea. God, I love you today, and I pray now, God, that you'd help me to preach this subject that is so serious and so needful in the hour that we live. God, I pray the Holy Ghost to come upon me and in me in such a way that you could preach through me, Lord, and I'd be yielded to thee. And Lord, we love you today. I just tell you, Lord, glorify yourself, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm preaching a series of messages on the journey to biblical manhood. Not just manhood, but biblical manhood. And of course, these messages are profitable for everybody, but it's preeminently geared toward men. But it's good for everybody. But in this series of messages, I want to preach today a message on the storm of separation that any man will go through on the way to biblical manhood. If you're going to have a journey toward biblical manhood, you're going to run into the storm of separation. Biblical separation. And our text today in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 says this: Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? I want you to think about what you're reading. That's right. And what concord hath Christ with Belial? I want you to think about what you're reading. Or what part in he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God? And we're the temple, those are saved, the temple of God, with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God, and as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Amen. Then he says, wherefore? In other words, because of these things, he gives us a command of Scripture. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye, everybody say it together, separate. That's a biblical command to be separate. Separate from what? Separate from the Lord, but not just from the world, but not just from the world, but unto Jesus Christ. He said, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And watch this. Isn't this interesting that God connects this with your very salvation? Because salvation is a new birth. You become a new child of God by the new birth, a new creature in Jesus. He becomes your heavenly Father. But look how he connects separation with salvation. He said that I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. The implication here by Scripture is that without separation, you really didn't get salvation. Amen. And I'm going to submit to you today through the Word of God that there is no such thing as biblical salvation without the accompanying biblical separation. Amen. And I'll prove that to you in Scripture this morning. Separation will always bring a storm into your life. And that's one reason that people and preachers and churches try to avoid the subject of separation, because it will always bring a storm. Biblical separation is a clear and consistent and frequent subject and an absolute effect and result of true salvation. I hope you got that. Biblical salvation, the separation is always connected to and a result of biblical salvation. But I want to say this morning some things that biblical separation is not. Everybody listening to me. Amen. Don't listen to me because of me. Listen to me because of Jesus. Amen. Listen to me because of the Lord. Biblical separation is not, and I want to get this down clearly, is not spiritual pride. Amen. Thinking you're a better Christian than somebody else. Amen. Biblical separation is not arrogance. Amen. Biblical separation is not religious cockiness. It's not a feeling of superiority. Amen. Biblical separation is not legalism. Right. Biblical separation is not an outward show. It is not law. Biblical separation is not rules. Biblical separation is not bringing attention to yourself. Biblical separation is not false piety or a put on the dog show. Biblical separation is not isolation. Biblical separation is not sensationalism. Biblical separation is not weirdness. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Jude, verse number 18 and 19, we'll talk about a little bit if you want to keep those things rolling. But guys, I appreciate it so much, all that they do. How I told you, how that they told you there should be mockers last time walking out their own godliness. Watch this. Here's a false separation. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. God said there are people who can put on like they're separated people. They don't even say. They're just putting on it and using their sensuality connected to this. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 12. For before that certain came James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. That is not biblical separation. Peter was at a place there and he was all there having a good time till some Jews came in. He didn't want them to be seen with the Gentiles. He moves himself out and separated himself because he didn't want to be seen with those people. That's not biblical separation. That's hypocrisy. Right. And we're going to deal with this later. Biblical separation and its results are taught clearly and emphatically by our Lord Jesus Christ, even to the point of, in Matthew chapter 10, of being separated from your family because of your faith and your obedience to the Word of God and your adherence to Scripture. The Bible, Jesus said, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I'm come to set a man at variance against his father, the daughter against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father and mother more than me," he didn't say don't love him, but he said you don't love him more than me, "is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter is more than me is not worthy of me." You've got to love God supremely. We sang that song a while ago. Let us love our God supremely. Let us love each other too. Let us love lost sinners. There's an order. God is the highest level of our love. Then our brethren, then the lost. Now the Bible said in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, "Suppose ye that I'm come to send peace on the earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." That's separation. "For from henceforth there shall be five in one house, divided three against two and two against three. The father divided against the son against the father, the mother against the daughter against the mother." Do you think Jesus is just kidding and filling pages here? The doctrine of separation will separate you from people that you dearly love. And separation will oftentimes be a trial of your faith. One of the biggest things I know going on in America now is a lack of biblical separation. Preachers have learned how to fine tune this. They're sending out a spirit that says, "Oh, we want you to get saved, but don't worry about separation. We're not asking that. You can go out and live like you want to and be a friend of the world like you used to be. Nothing has to change. You just say your little repeat after me prayer. We'll write your name down, get you dunked in the tank, and everything's good, and you can go back to the bar next Friday night." That's what kind of Christianity we got going in America today. In the book of Exodus, and you don't need to turn there right now, but Exodus is a picture of this whole thing. Every New Testament doctrine has an Old Testament example, if not many. In the book of Exodus, when God came down to deliver the children of out of Egypt, Egypt is a picture of this world and its system. Pharaoh is a picture of Satan. The children of Israel, a picture of the lost man whom God was going to send. Moses, a picture of Jesus Christ. sent down there to bring them out. Let me tell you something. It came to the point where they had the Passover, where the blood was shed. And by the without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. The Passover, it was when by doing that, they were expressing their faith in a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice, substitute sacrifice, that somebody would die for them and in their place and pay for their sin. Immediately when that happened, the next morning, God said, come out. In 3 days, God led them out of Egypt. God has never saved anybody in this world without separating them from it. Don't kid yourself about it. This is why our churches are full of false converts who've never been saved, because they've been led to believe that there is, the Bible said in the New Testament, there are things that accompany salvation. And if these things don't accompany salvation, you didn't get salvation. And separation from the world unto Jesus Christ, I'm not talking about just being separated from, I'm talking about being separated from the world unto Jesus Christ. Now we all fail. And we're never all we ought to be. But I'm going to tell you something right now. When God saves a man, the Holy Ghost of God dwells in that man, and he will immediately start working on the issue of separation from this world, and we'll deal with that this morning. As soon as the blood was applied, came out of him. Now, it took 3 days for God to get Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. Amen. This is the problem in our churches today. Not only that, but the Bible teaches the Old Testament repeatedly in Leviticus chapter 20. Watch these verses. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 24. It said, but I say unto you, you shall inherit their land. I'll give it unto you to possess the land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have done what? Separated you. Look at verse 26. Watch this. And you shall be holy unto me. That means separated unto God in cleanness and righteousness and obedience to God. For I am the Lord am holy and have severed you. Look at that. Severed you from among other people that you should be mine. Yeah. I want to ask you a question. How many of you men this morning want a wife who two nights a week goes to stay with some other old boy? No. You understand that real quick, don't you? Don't have a problem understanding that. I'm saying this to you, that separation is critical. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse number 1. When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land where thou goest to possess and hast cast out many nations before me, and it lists all of them. Look at what verse number 2 says. When the Lord thy God deliver them before, thou shalt smite them out and destroy them, make no covenant with them. And then again said, watch this. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters shalt thou not give to his son, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto my son. God said, this thing is so serious, I don't even want you letting your sons marry their heathen's daughters. I don't want your daughters marrying the heathen's son. Remember back in our text, it said this, what communion hath light with darkness? What communion hath Christ with Baal? He said, come out from among and be you separate. Look what it says there. And watch verse 4. Why? Why does God want separation? For they will turn away thy son from following me. God knows what he's talking about. God said, when you get saved, I'm going to separate you. And he said, because if you don't set, the Bible says, evil communications, memorize verse this morning. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You hang around the wrong kind of people, it'll corrupt you and mess your life up. And the manners in which the way you live, the Bible teaches clearly that he took him out of there. In Psalms 106 and verse number 35, it said, but he's talking about, this whole chapter is about the story of Israel and how they messed up. Here's one of the reasons they did. But they were mingled among the heathen and learned their works. When you send your child to a public school, you are mingling them with the heathen. And you want to know why this country is in the shape it's in? It's because for 70, 80 years, we've mingled God's people with the children of the heathen, and our children to be, what did the Bible say would happen? They'll corrupt them. They'll take them away from God. That's exactly what's happened in this nation today. Back when the churches, when I was born in 53, post-war, after World War II, that whole thing changed. Before that, how many knows FDR is one of the glorified gods of the Democrat Party? How many knows that? All right. You know what they won't tell you? They won't tell you that FDR was home educated till he was 14 years old. The next time somebody tells you that home educated people are weird, ask them about FDR then.
Yeah.
If you read the story about his home education for the first 14 years, one of the reasons that he had determination from his father teaching him not to give up. No matter what adversity hits you in life, you never give up. When he's 39 years old, he got struck with polio, but would have just got blown out of his life. But he remembered his daddy's teaching when he was in home education. Son, you don't let adversity stop you. Let me tell you something right now. The reason we're such a weak nation is because we've mingled ourselves with heathen, and the power of God cannot be upon us. We've not made Jesus Christ preeminent. We just mingled ourselves. And then not only that, but now the church has come into the world, has come into the church and taken over the church. Look what it says. Serve their idols. It were a snare unto them. Look at verse 37. They sacrificed their sons and daughters unto the devils, shed innocent blood, blood of their sons and their daughters. I'll tell you something. You don't have no idea where we're headed to. Yeah. But this week, past week, something happened in this nation. Happened here in Missouri that literally was the open gate to showing you where we're headed to. Yeah. Look, Jesus is not to marry the heathen. Solomon did this, and within the generation of his son, the nation was split and destroyed and sent off into captivity. Yeah. Over this. Yeah. No separation. God says, Solomon, you don't marry those people. Yeah. What did he do? Went and married every old gal he could find from every country across every nation around him. Yep. Took him down, ruined the nation, destroyed their freedom, sent him into captivity. Professing brethren are to be separated from, not just the heathen. Look at Numbers chapter 16. They come up there and got rebellious against Moses, told him he wasn't the only one who knew God. The Lord spake unto Moses under there and saying, separate yourselves among this congregation, I may consume them in a moment. You know what? The people want to take over and try to train wreck the work of God. And God says, you can't get away from those people. That's good advice. Amen. People that get a bad attitude toward the man of God and the people of God and the work of God. I'll tell you something. Don't hang around that crowd. Evil communications corrupts good manners. You follow that thing, you'll find out that God swallowed him up. Amen. Now we come to the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 26. The Bible said, our Lord Jesus Christ, for such an high priest became us who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and what? Except for sinners. Did you know what? The Bible teaches that Jesus, and we're going to look at all the scriptures, but over and over again, you'll find where Jesus ate with sinners, sat with sinners, and so forth. But you never find the place where Jesus compromised righteousness and truth and the law of God and the word of God just to be a buddy to the sinners. Amen. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. He loves us, but he is separate from sinners. Amen. He's got this crowd out here that takes where Paul said, I've become all things to all men that I might by all means win some. In other words, they think you're going to smoke pot with somebody so you can win him to Christ. You can drink beer with somebody so you can win him to Christ. You're going to do this. That's not biblical at all. That's not what Paul was talking about. But I'm saying this to you. We need to be friends to sinners. Yeah. We're in this world. But we're not of this world. But I'm going to tell you something. By the way, I'm not afraid to eat with sinners. I'm not any better than they are. I could have been in hell. I'm worse than most. I should have been in hell more so than most lost men I know. Yeah. But that doesn't mean we should not be separate from them. Right. We should live such a way that they know our life is different. Yeah. We'll talk about some of that pretty soon. Separation is not salvation. Get this down. But salvation is always followed by separation from this world. Amen. We looked at our passage of scripture early. Ephesians 5:11 says, watch this, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, abstain from all appearance of evil. That means if it just don't even look right, don't hang around it. Right. Hebrews 13, verse 11. We'll look at that passage of scripture. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought in sanctuary by the high priest was in a burn without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Watch verse 13. Let us go forth therefore unto him, where? Without the camp. God always calls his people without the camp of this world, without the camp of religion, and all that kind of calls people unto himself. The Bible teaches us In Psalms chapter 1, look at Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. That's separation. Nor standeth the way of sinners. That's separation. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. That's separation. God says, I don't want you to be separate. That you're not better than they are. You're not holier than they are. You're not superior to them. But you belong to God. I don't want you messing with that stuff. Amen. I want you separated from this world. Now let's go to James chapter 4, verse number 4. Look at the world, the church, and the child of God. Ye adulterers and adulteresses. Why would God say that? Because they're flirting or committing spiritual adultery, flirting with the world. Now watch this. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. You know what he's saying? You can't say that you're a friend of God and you go back out there and you snuggle bug up with the world and all of its ways and all of its methods and all of its way of living. Yeah. Right. Amen. Look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things are in the world. Yeah. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Right. Amen. What we've got is a religion in America now that you come and get, quote, say your little prayer, get your baptism certificate, go right back out there and love the world and go to your concerts and listen to your music and all that kind of garbage. Yeah. 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 And out there, nobody would have any idea you was on church Sunday morning. Amen. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. The world passed away in the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, you say, what are you talking about, Reggie? I'm talking about that we're in the world, but we're not of this world. Let me just give you some practical applications of biblical separation. But let me just say before I do that scripturally, what I've been doing scripturally, I believe with all my heart that a man, let's just say a man 30 years old, he just, you know, let's say the beer drinking, but he got saved. Did you know that man that may not know the difference between the New Testament and the Old Testament, but the Spirit of God inside him is going to start telling him, I don't want you doing this, I don't want you doing this, you can go over here, but don't want you go there, don't hang around those people and do this, and he'll start separating you, even though you don't know the Bible verses about it. How many knows that's the truth? Amen. How many members, when you got saved, God dealt with you that way? You didn't know all the verses, you didn't know all the books, but God, the Holy Ghost of God said, I don't want you doing that, don't want you going there, you need to quit that, I'm telling you something, I remember when God saved me, it was just week after week after week, Brother Brett, seemed like he just kept the stuff out of my life. But let me tell you the difference is, I didn't go, well, dead gummit, I don't get to watch porn.
That's right.
Boy, I don't get to go drink a beer. I was happy. I was free. Yes. Separation is not bondage. No. Separation is liberty. Amen. I got set free from the fear of man. I didn't care what my buddies thought anymore. I didn't care if they liked me or didn't like me. I had Jesus Christ as my friend. Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Get off this wagon that being separated means you ain't going to have no fun in life. I've had more fun since I got saved than I ever had. I ain't never had a hangover from church. Amen. Amen. I've been to church since after midnight and got home at 1 o'clock, but I never had a hangover the next day. Amen. Never vomited over it. Amen. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about this. God will separate you from liquor. I believe that with all my heart. You say, well, Jesus turned water into wine. Is that the only verse you know? How about this? Near wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. How about yesterday, 6 people killed by a drunk driver? How about these clown liberals who talk about taking away your guns, but don't say a stinking word about all the people that's killed by liquor drivers in the country every year? Way more than the guns ever kill anybody. They're a bunch of hypocrites because they love their liquor. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe with all my heart that the Holy Ghost of God will take liquor out of you and he saves you. Yes, sir. Amen. I may think liquor is of the Lord. You know better than that. Liquor is of the world. Love not the things of the world. How about your dope, your pot, your needles?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. I think we got a bunch of people running around there. Oh, you know what I mean? I was at church the other night. Me and my buddies were smoking pot together after church. Oh, really? You didn't get salvation. I got it. Amen. I'm talking about you ought to get rid of it. Amen. I'll tell you why this church going crowd thinks you can go into church on Sunday morning, drink your beer on Saturday night. That makes me sick to my stomach. I'm going to tell you right now, beer and liquor and all that stuff done nothing but destroy marriages and families and children at home. It's a blasphemy against God Almighty. How many of you would have any confidence in my preacher? If you come out to my house, open the refrigerator up, and there's a six pack of Bud Light in there, that queer beer. You know what I'm talking about, a queer beer? You guys that drink Bud Light, I'm going to say this clearly and to the camera. You boys drinking Bud Light, you're drinking queer beer. Are you a queer?
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
Right.
You're not a man, or you'd quit.
Yeah. Amen.
I think the devil don't like me this morning. Amen.
Amen.
I'll tell you right now. You say, well, I didn't know I was getting into this county. You're in an old-time, old-fashioned, gospel preaching, Jesus loving, Bible loving, hellfire and damnstone preaching church. That's where you at this morning, amen? That's exactly right. We ain't afraid of nobody. We're not afraid of the truth, and it's going right out over the internet. Ain't a thing I'm going to say that I'm afraid of anybody hearing. I ain't in here in a secret lodge, amen? I'll tell you what y'all do. The Holy Ghost will separate you. We got saved. God separated us in education and rearing of our children. I tell you, God will separate you to do the truth and be honest in your business life. Yeah, he'll separate you from lying and cheating and all that kind of garbage. And God will separate you from being a phony. God will make you real in your heart. You get separated to God. You get real with God. Not putting on the dog. How these clowns run around acting like they ain't never sinned and don't sin. You're lying out your teeth. You know you are.
Amen.
The moment you said that, somebody is lying and that's sin. Amen. I don't tell you what, he separates you into your marriage. You believe in biblical marriage. One man, one woman, one lifetime. Amen, right?
Amen.
You say, well, Solomon had a bunch of wives. Yeah, look where he got him. Amen. God created Adam and God created Eve. He didn't give Adam five wives.
Right.
You believe the Bible about this stuff. Separate you out. You're shacked up, you get married.
Yeah.
You say, well, I got saved. You're shacked up, get married.
Yeah.
You ought to have obedience. Separate them to what God's word says. I'll tell you something else. You won't be like it. God will take you away from all the entertainments of this world. I'll tell you, make me sick. Christian people come in church on Sunday morning. Next thing you know, you'll see them on Facebook, been down to Branson, some show. And the very same people that wouldn't grunt a holy grunt in church for Jesus Christ are down there to hooping and hollering, got their hands up, worshiping Baal down here at Branson in front of the stinking show.
Amen.
That's hypocrisy.
Yes, it is.
God separates you from that garbage. I'll tell you what, the Bible said, abstain from all appearance of evil. They ain't getting up here and singing about Jesus Christ. They're singing about running off on your wife, cheating on your husband.
Yeah.
Woe is me. Good, land of living. I'm going to get depressed just to listen to country and western. I think somebody in here must like it. I feel the Spirit of God saying, hammer it just a little bit, Reggie. Hammer it just a little bit. Some of you are listening to all that junk.
Yeah.
Some of you think Dolly Parton's the most spiritual thing you've ever seen. She's nothing but an attention whore. That's all she is. She needs to get saved. I don't hate her. She needs to get saved. But Christian people, I mean, these Christian people going to church on Sunday morning, they still love Elvis Presley more than they love God. I don't even know all the clowns that are now. I'll tell you something else about separation. They'll get you some clothes on.
Yeah,
man. I tell you, men running around with your shirt unbuttoned down here, and you've glued on one or two German Shepherd dog hairs to make you look tough. I tell you, you're nothing but a sissy wimp. Amen. Button your shirt up.
Yeah.
Button your shirt up. Amen.
Amen.
Running around with your stinking low-down shorts on. Your knees look like cat head biscuits. God said he takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. I understand why. Amen. And then you women run around. I tell you what, you say, oh, I got to wear my britches. You know what? I'll make you women a deal. I won't preach on your britches if you'll wear them baggy. Anybody want to make me a deal? I'll always excuse you. Oh, no. They're going to put them skin tight, look like they've been sprayed on, glued on.
Yeah, okay.
Tight as a banjo string, showing every crack and crease they've got.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah. Amen.
What's up?
Yeah.
Some of you men, tell me, what's up?
Yeah.
What's up? She's showing you her body.
Yeah.
It is nakedness.
Right.
It is abomination of God Almighty.
Yeah.
You ought to put your tank, get your tank tops and your, I don't know, all that slop. It's all next to nothing. Tank tops and tube tops. And them men running around with little britches on look like they're wearing women's slacks. That make you sick. That's right.
Right.
That's an abomination. Man should not wear that which appertains to a woman. Yeah. Woman shall not wear that which appertains to a man. God says there's a difference in the way people dress between genders. This is where all this stuff has led. Just this week, that sorry excuse for a president we got issued an executive order on Title IX, which was done in 1972 law, to make women non-discriminatory in the workplace and in schools and participation. That's 1972. Now he's taken Title IX and brought transgenders under the umbrella of Title IX, saying, and it's, by the way, this takes effect August the 1st of this year, just in time for school, that they're going to withhold federal funding, tax dollars, from any school, public school, that discriminates against transgenders, binaries, you name it, all of it. And the schools, if they do not allow this, and by the way, upon penalty of discriminatory legal action. In plain words, what this means is that starting this fall, Norwood, Mountain Grove, Ava, Hartville, Manus, all of them, if they don't deny Joe Biden, will have to let boys in girls' bathrooms in your local schools. Or you'll be violating Title IX and be subjected to reprimand by the school system. And if that happens again, then they'll take it to legal proceedings with the Department of Justice. You'll have a knock on your door by the FBI. For even such, they listed in detail, it cannot be in print, it cannot be verbal, it cannot be insinuated, it cannot be implied that you disagree with what they claim they are. I want to tell you something. We're headed for dark days. We're already in dark days. And I would say this publicly too. I challenge you school board members. What are you going to, I ain't heard one, it's been out all week long. I ain't heard a peep out of you. Do you know what you won't do? You won't hear a word peep out of it. All they're going to do is hope that it never comes up and that they can hush down anything that and keep under the cover anything that does happen to heaven. They will, if they don't do this, if they don't stand up on their two hind legs and say, we reject the federal tax money, we're not going to let you tell us how to live, then they've buckled, they've bowed and kissed the feet of Baal. You can tell them Reg Kelly said so. They don't like me anyway. You know why they don't like me? Because I love God more than I love them. That's just a fact of it. I'm telling you right now, God wants us to stay away and be separated from worldly entertainments, amusements, and activities. God wants us to dress right, look right, be modest and holy before the Lord. I'm not talking about wearing a feed sack and looking like something come out of the feed pasture. I'll tell you what, you can look beautiful. I want to publicly commend some of the young ladies in this church right now. Some of you young ladies that wearing some beautiful dresses and you look like ladies, you look beautiful before the Lord. I want to tell you, I appreciate it. I commend you for it.
Amen.
I'm going to brag on you for it. We do not practice separation to be saved, but we obey God because we are saved. We do not practice separation based upon a group somewhere who sent down us down a list of rules, some denomination or organization, or what grandma said was right. But we practice separation upon what the Bible says.
Amen.
Let me tell you something right now. This is critical to understand. We are separated from the world unto Jesus Christ. We're not talking about isolation going down to a monk monastery. Everybody in here and everybody out there intuitively knows this. The principle of marriage, that you separate. When I asked Karen to marry me, I was asking her to separate from anybody else. Unto me. Anybody got a hard time understanding that? No, you don't have a hard time understanding that. You expect that's the way it's supposed to be, right? Your wife's separated unto the husband, husband unto the wife. Can I tell you something? Jesus Christ is never, ever going to commit spiritual adultery on Reg Kelly.
That's a fact.
The same way it is with husband, a wife and husband, it is between Christ and the church. And the church, that's why it talks about adulterers and adulteresses. You're going out here and you're honky-tonking with the world while you say you belong to Jesus Christ. You're flirting with the world while you, and betraying the Lord Jesus Christ. Here a while back, somebody talked to me about a situation. The guy was gone for the beat. Somehow or another, he found out that his wife had been messing with this other man. Found the notes and stuff. Talking about how betrayed he felt. Did you ever realize when you flirt with the world and you go out and do what the world wants you to do, that you're betraying your Lord Jesus Christ? That's why the issue of virginity in the Old Testament is so powerful. Because it's about, it's a picture of spiritual betrayal. Paul said that I might present you as a chaste virgin unto Jesus Christ. You better be listening. You better be listening. We got a generation that doesn't know anything about what I'm preaching this morning. They walk in our church 25 years and never know a thing about what I'm preaching. A bride and groom are separated from all others unto each other. To flirt with this world is spiritual adultery. I belong to Jesus Christ. He bought me with his blood. The church is the bride of Christ. It's to be separated unto God, holy, amen, without blemish. Can I say to you this? This separation, biblical separation, brings a loving yieldedness to God in that. You're not going around, oh man, I wish I could do this, I wish you could do that. Boy, hey, I can't do that. That's not it at all. You know what? If Karen would have married me and every other night she'd say, man, I wish I hadn't married him. Man, I wish I could go with old Joe again. I wish I'd go out with that guy. Man, I'm hooked now, I'm hooked up. My life's ruined. I'm hooked up with Reg. Is your life ruined because you're hooked up with Jesus Christ?
No.
You find something more, you want to go to heaven, but you know you don't want to be faithful to him.
Good preaching.
That's our whole problem in this country. And preachers have figured out how to have church and get this accomplished.
Come on.
Love for God brings joyful, happy separation from the world. Let me just tell you something. Happily married to Karen. Amen. Now let me say this here. Number one, there is ecclesiastical separation. That's talking about religious separation. If asked, watch this, to go preach in a Roman Catholic church, Jehovah's Witness Church, Mormon Church, did you know that I would do it? Yeah. But I'm not having supper with them afterward. And I'll never get asked back again. I don't mind a bit if they ask me to come in, give my testimony. I guarantee you they're gonna have to sit there a while. Amen. But I'm not having fellowship with them and go to some meeting with them and act like we're all brothers in Christ, because we're not.
Amen.
That's ecclesiastical separation. That's why I've never been a part of ministerial alliances. I went to one meeting of ministerial alliance here in Norwood, over in the school, by the way. Got set down at the table, about 8 or 9 local pastors sitting there. And the first thing, one of them jumped up and said, Kelly, said, you're preaching against Catholicism. You're causing a lot of problems for the cause of Christ around here.
Good. Amen. Good.
Yeah. You know what the deal was? You come in here, you're going to be at this bunch, you're going to compromise. You're going to compromise. Bow. You know what I told him? I said, I don't believe I belong here. I just got up and table and left. I never went back to one ministerial. So all that junk is to get you to compromise and become a backslapper and a glad hander for everybody in the country. And you're just going to get along. And maybe they might even ask you to preach the back of Lord services over at the schoolhouse. If you be nice enough and cow down enough. But I'm not having supper, standing around, having a good visit. The Bible said, have no fellowship with the unworkful dark. I can be around people in darkness, but I don't have to have fellowship with it. Then there's doctrinal separation. Let me give this to you. Right here's the issue of doctrinal separation. You don't believe this Bible is the word of God, perfect, pure, and preserved. You believe God's got mistakes in his Bible. You and I ain't going to have very much fellowship at all. And the older I get, the less we're going to have.
Amen.
I'm telling you something right now. This Bible's word of God. These others are corrupted things. You're not preaching the same Bible. You're preaching out of an NIV. You're not preaching out of the Bible. You're preaching out of a corrupted seed. How in the world can I have fellowship with you if I claim to believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? I have a perfect word and you claim it's got mistakes in it. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard tell of my life. You don't treat them Sears and Roebuck, the Bass Pro catalog that way.
Amen.
Then there's doctrinal separation. as I said, the Bible. Salvation by grace. You believe you got to get baptized to be saved? We ain't going to have no fellowship.
Right. Yep.
You believe in sprinkling babies to save them? We're not going to have a fellowship. That's a lie out of hell.
Yeah.
Modern tongues movement.
No way.
Yeah. Women preaching in churches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You bet.
You show me one verse in the Bible where it says the woman's be a pastor of the church and preach. I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take you out to a good supper. It ain't in there. You'll have to twist it and talk about prophetesses. What you'll have to do. You can't read the epistles and the pastoral epistles. It said bishop must be the husband of, have the husband of one wife.
Yeah.
You got to be a transgender. If you're a woman preacher, you're a transgender.
Yeah.
Fact of it.
Amen.
You're just as guilty as any transgender out here because you're flipping roles.
Amen.
You say it's too tough a preacher for me. There's other churches you can attend. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I don't hate nobody, not mad at nobody, but you're going to get the truth if it hurts. I'm telling you.
Amen.
This is what eating this country up. I'm not having a band come up here and do country and western, rock and roll, contemporary stuff and put a deal on the wall and we're going to sing Kumbaya 50 times.
Yeah.
I ain't going to shut the lights off. In fact, I want more lights in here.
Amen.
Yeah. I ain't blowing smoke out of the stage.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Let me just back up a little bit. You didn't like that deal about tongues. Let me just tell you, the Bible said tongues and cease. And the tongues that's being done is not what's in the Bible.
Amen.
I've been in several services and I've never been in a service yet where they did it biblically.
Amen. Right.
Now, this book's going to be my guide, not your grandma.
Amen.
I'm not mad at them. I love them. We just don't see that same. And I'll tell you what, I ain't going to be around a bunch of it.
Amen.
Amen.
I know some folks who did go to church at one time. And we got down there at Branson, got into one of them churches. You know what she was doing? The nursery down there, did the nursery. They come back here one Sunday and told her, she's got to come up. Said, you need to come up here. A lady got sick, had to leave. Said, he needs more people up there to slay in the spirit. If you knew what went on in all this junk, you'd curl a hog's back. It's your Sunday to be slain in the spirit. Didn't you know that? God's leading this thing. Well, some of you, this will be your last time here. I'm not having fellowship with some prosperity preacher. Who don't act like Paul lived in a Holiday Inn all his life.
Yeah.
Who mocked Paul, who was in jail most of his ministry.
Yeah.
And I'm not also saying this. I'm not having fellowship with these false forms of worship and activity. Always take your Bibles to Exodus 32. Now everybody hang on.
Yeah.
Everybody, let me just tell you something. This kind of preaching would empty out 90% of the churches in this country. Is that right?
Right.
They ain't going to put up with this.
No.
Because we all come in here to sing Kumbaya, you know. We don't care what you believe, don't care what Bible you use. We all just going to worship some Jesus.
Yeah.
Exodus chapter 32. I want you to read with me. Now you watch this. And when the people saw it, now Moses has went up into the mount from God to get the directions for the tabernacle and all that. He's left Aaron down there in charge with the people of Israel, okay? And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said to him, up, make us gods, which shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him.
Uh-huh.
And Aaron said unto them, watch this. This is another thing I don't like. Are you ready? I don't like men with earrings.
Amen.
I like the men, but I don't like it that they wear earrings.
Right.
I was a boy, I tell you what, you walk through Norwood and I was a boy, you probably get whooped wearing an earring now, that back in my day.
Yeah.
Now this is, if you read your Bible about this subject, you'll pick it up after a while. It's connected with idolatry. Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters. Bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which are in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. He received them with their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. That's in direct opposition to the law that God gave him.
Yeah.
And he made it a molten calf. Now, a calf is the calf statue or molten image is Baal.
Yeah.
It has hooves and it has horns. There's a reason a lot of your old art about Satan has horns and hooves. And you go take this to the missing cherub in Ezekiel. One of them is a calf.
Yep.
That's why there's a connection to Satan with this, okay? You are dealing now with satanic religious business right here. He made a molten calf, and they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." And when Aaron saw it, watch what he does. Now they've got this calf that's made out of the idolatrous practices and gold there. He built an altar.
Yeah.
We're going to have church.
Yeah.
Are you listening to me?
Preach.
Let's change the church here in just a little bit.
Come on.
We're going to get rid of this old way, you know.
Yeah.
We got a new way to worship now.
Yeah.
And Aaron made proclamation and said, "Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord."
Yeah.
Do you see what just happened?
Yes.
They took, watch this. They took idolatry,
right,
and mixed it with worship of the Lord God.
Yeah.
That's called syncretism. And they mix worshiping God. They go, "Oh, we worship Jesus. We worship God.
Yeah.
We use the Bible." But they bring in this idolatry and paganism.
Yep.
Now watch it. This is. See, there's nothing new under the sun. What's going on in America right now? We're on with Israel out there in the desert.
Yes, yeah.
And he said, he made a proclamation, verse number 5, to tomorrow's a feast of the Lord. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered something. What? Where'd they get that from? God. Do you see how they're mixing the worship of that calf?
Yeah.
With the worship of God.
Yeah.
This is what's going on, folks.
Amen.
All your contemporary worship stuff going on out here, and rock and roll in your churches, and boogie woogie and dark down, and the smoke flying and all that stuff. They're doing this. This is not new. And brought peace offerings. So here's what they got: an altar, they got a peace offering, they got burnt offerings. They're mixing it all with worshiping this calf. And the people sat down. Boy, this sounds good. They got a Starbucks coffee shop in there. They got a McDonald's in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
They got a dance floor.
Yeah.
And they love that verse in the Bible where it says dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's the church service.
Come on.
Yeah.
Dance. And said that peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to do something.
Play.
Well, what they were playing.
Come on.
And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go, get thee down, for the people which thou brought out of the land have done something." What did they do? What God say they've done? Corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I command them, made them a molten calf, and have worshipped it, and have sacrificed thereto, and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." And the Lord said unto Moses, I have seen this people. Behold, it is stiff-necked people. Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them and make them thee. Now I'm going to skip down from verse 11 to verse number 15. But that's a passage where Moses literally intercedes for them that God would not destroy them.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, verse 15, Moses turned, went down from the mountain, and the two tables of the testimony were in the hand. Tables were written on both sides, the one on one side and the other on the, were they written. And the tables were the work of God, and the writing was the writing of God graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise of the people as they shouted, he said unto Moses, watch this, there is a noise of war in the camp. What was the war?
Against God.
There was a war between the truth of God and the satanic deception that was going on. There was spiritual warfare going on among these people. That's what's happening in America right now. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for the mastery, neither is the voice of them that being overcome. I'm telling you, folks, it's everywhere. And it came to pass as soon as he drew nigh at the camp, and that he saw the calf, and watch out, and the dancing.
And the dancing.
We're going to dance. We're going to get them drums up here and electric guitar. And man, I mean, we're going to. And the women are going to dance. And,
yep.
Come on.
Amen. Yep.
I'm telling you, all the junk that you're seeing on TV and in these contemporary churches is right out of the book of Exodus 32.
Amen.
God ain't in that stuff.
Amen.
Oh, I know prayer meetings. No. Come in on Wednesday night and just pray.
Yeah.
Amen.
Ain't no dancing, ain't no supper. Well, let's go on and see what it says here. He says, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and broke them beneath the mountain. Anyway, verse 20, he burns this calf, grinds it to powder, strawed upon the water, made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin? Now you watch this. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people that they're set on mischief. They're only human.
Yep.
You know what he's doing? He's making excuses for them.
Yep.
For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us, and that for as is Moses, the men that brought up out of the land of Egypt, we want not to become of him. And I said unto them, whosoever hath any gold, let him break it off. So they gave me, and I cast it in the fire, and there came out this calf. How many knows what Aaron just did?
Lied.
He lied like a dog.
Yeah.
Aaron, the high priest.
Right.
You listen to me. High level preachers can lie fast to you. Watch this. Some of you need to look right into the camera. God has just now told me there's somebody watching this show. You need to send in $1,500 and God's going to give you back $6,000. You know who you are. God's speaking to you right now. But the guys that are not quite that crazy, we have here this 10-volume set of my greatest messages. And for a gift of $175, free gift. We'll send this to you absolutely free. They're lying. You know what really makes me mad about that? Some old lost boy sitting there, and he's interested. He doesn't want to go to hell. You know what he gets out of that? That you have to pay for salvation. He's being taught the doctrine of works religion. That you earn it and pay for it somehow or another. And they've perverted the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm just going to tell you personally, I probably ain't got long to live. I don't know when God's going to take me out, but I am so done with all this junk. I have tried for years to here's what the Bible said. This is a verse I've tried to keep in mind. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. I don't think I need to go around criticizing pastors, even though I may not agree with everything they do. You know, God will have to sort all that out. But there comes a time when it's too much, when they're doing too much damage, and they need to be rebuked, and they need to be stopped about it. So watch what goes on here. He said, there came out this calf. Now watch this, folks. We're not done yet. Verse 2, and Moses saw that the people were what?
Naked.
There's your playing. Now listen to me tight here. In the Old Testament, the reason God had them to destroy all the people that they, when they came up out of the land, those people were so perverted with disease and filth and vileness that God wanted it wiped out. Okay? God's holy. He said, I want you to wipe them out. Okay? Baal worship services, this is all over the Mediterranean Sea. It has it all the way through the kings. So there, Elijah and Jezebel and all that stuff. But here's what was going on. They had a place down there called Tophet, the Valley of Hinnom. It's on the southwest side of Jerusalem. And down in there, they had called. It's also Tophet means drums. That's another reason I'm not a big deal about drums, because I connect drums with rock and roll music. That's me. Okay. But Tophet is the Valley of Drums. You know why they had what they called the Valley of Drums? They had drums so big and so loud down there to drown out the screams of the children that were being offered to the Baal image. And the people would bring their newborn babies, and they would have these Baalistic priests, and they would literally throw you can look all this up. They would throw the newborn baby into the arms of this god Moloch. He was made out of brass, and he had a spring in him. And the priest, when he was spring that would pull that baby down inside the body of Moloch and burn that baby to death alive. That's why he talks about you made your children pass through the fire. You read your Bible, it'll tell you about this stuff, okay? But if you want to read history, you can get more detail about what the Bible talks about. This was later going on. But further and worse than this, the temples of Baal had in them, why did they want rid of the baby? Okay, think about this. Why did they want rid of the baby? The same reason people want rid of the babies in America today. They do not, they want pleasure without responsibility. They do not want the responsibility. They want, all they want is the pleasure, but nothing to take care of.
Right.
That's what abortion is about. We're in Baal worship, deep into Baal worship in this country. And so what they would do is they take the children because they didn't want the responsibility, and they were so corrupted in their minds by false doctrine. When Jezebel wanted, watch this, when Jezebel wanted to steal Naboth's property for Ahab, her husband, she put on a false trial and used God's name and used God's methods to try to blaspheme the king and blaspheme God and the king. It meant you would have all your, watch this, property taken away and you would die. She accused him of both, and she brought in, quote, God of Israel witnesses. Jezebel was a master at mixing Baalistic practices with the worship of the God of Israel. And she used whatever was handy to get it done. But here's where I'm going with this. Now watch, be careful, because I'm going to talk about something here in a minute. The Baal worship system's ultimate draw to people. You think about this for a second. Why would a people who had been delivered out of Egypt, given the law, statutes, and commandments, knew the God of glory and creation, why would they be drawn to a system that you threw babies into a furnace of fire and kill your own children? I'm going to tell you why. It was sensual worship. And in their Baal temples, they had male, watch this, male prostitutes for the women and female prostitutes for the men. And then they had bisexual prostitutes for the queers. That's why when you read about the kings, it says that the houses of the Sodomites were next to the house of God.
That's right.
And Israel, just like they did in chapter 32, got sucked in to the sensuality and sexuality, and they were still, quote, worshiping God. And you wonder why God sent Israel out and condemned. Because he said, you read your Bible, he tells them, you are doing exactly the same stuff that I told you to drive those people out. Now, I want to be very careful here this morning what I say. But this thing has boiled over. It's come to a point where something's got to be said. This past weekend, there was a stronger men's conference in Springfield, Missouri, what used to be the Hammond Center. It was put on by James River Assembly. I'm not after anybody, but the facts are the facts. The opening act of that conference was by a man by the name of Alex Magella. Alex Magella there's so many things about it. He's a sword swallower. And in that thing, he comes on the stage. If you've watched the video, he comes on stage on a motorcycle. They've got smoke moving across the whole auditorium. You got all these men, quote, up there at this men's stronger conference. This is the opening act. He comes riding in on a motorcycle. Smoke's going everywhere. I'm talking about weird music going on. Gets off of the motorcycle. He has a stripper pole on the stage. He comes up there, does three or four, you know, these kind of wild, kind of sexual moves. Turns around to the audience and takes this side of his vest and jerks it off. Does this and jerks it off and pulls off. And he's very muscular, okay, in front of all those men. That's the opening act. The rocky music's playing. The smoke's going. A pole dancing pole. And then he starts doing his pole stuff. That's at a men's conference, folks. Supposedly people are supposed to be knowing about Jesus Christ and becoming stronger men of the Lord. He takes the sword, licks it with his tongue, all the way up to the tip. Takes the sword and does his magic, which you're prohibited in Scripture of being involved in. They brought magic. I don't believe for a second that he stuck that sword down in his goozle. If he did it, it's by satanic power. And I don't believe he did it. It's a trick. He's got this sword stuck in his mouth about that far out, does his pole climbing stuff, goes way up the top, comes back down, and all this kind of garbage. And people are, all those men are out there, you know, they're oogling and ogling. Tell me what's going on. Modern Baal worship. Baal worship has invaded this country. And what happened was, this was a test. Listen to me. This was a test to see if all these men who gathered from across Missouri and Arkansas and Kansas, if they would accept it and take it.
It was national.
Yeah, it is on. I mean, it went everywhere. And I don't ever, I'm just telling you right now, I am not anybody's judge, but I can judge fruit. And I'll tell you something, something's wrong. Something this blasphemous, it's wrong. And I'm going to warn this church about it. I'm going to tell you guys, stay away from this stuff. Get clear of it. It's bad stuff. He, in his past, has been both a women's strip club dancer, pole dancer, and a sodomite men's group, bar, nightclub, pole dancer. That's in his past, okay? Here's what really bothered me, though. The next day, a man that he invited to come in to preach, who has a horrible past to him, you read stuff he preaches to thousands of people in front of you, make you want to vomit and choke, but at least he came up and said, there, yesterday this building was opened up with a Jezebel spirit. This was wrong having this man do this. He's got a strip pole. And about that time, the pastor of James River Assembly jumps up out of his seat and says, you need to get off the stage. You're done. Because he was exposing. So what you had at that moment was a big rift in the men in the congregation. Some of the men were applauding this pole dancer. Others were saying it shouldn't have been done. My question is, why did you sit there? Number one, why did you even come to start with? Because you guarantee they knew that kind of stuff's going on. So then it goes national. And Lindell recognizes that he's got a big problem on his hand, that men's conference got exposed for what was going on. It came out into the public. He's got real problems. So he comes up to his church this past Wednesday night and makes a speech. And in that speech, he claims that he's done Matthew 18. Now, I want you to listen to me carefully today. I want to show you how people take the Bible and wrest it to their own destruction. He got up on the stage there at the deal and said, I'm Matthew 18 and you. And he said, you should have come to me and told me if you didn't like that. I'm going to tell you something. Watch this. And then he gets on Wednesday night to his church, and he starts lathering the whole congregation with Matthew 18. That deal had nothing to do with Matthew 18. That was an open show. It had nothing to do with a personal problem. Matthew 18, if you're a brother, I have a problem with you. I come to you. Now, I will say this, that if I had been there and I was rebuking that deal and he told me, God says, I have always tried to respect the pastor of any church I've preached in. If they said, Reggie, sit down, I'll go sit down or go to my car and leave. I literally, one night, years and years ago, I was preaching on divorce and remarriage in the church in Iowa, and I preached on that. When I got home, the pastor of that church climbed me, I mean like a mule, jumped all over me for preaching on divorce, remarriage and stuff. And I'm inclined, and just let me have it. And I said, listen, I didn't preach anything but what's in the Bible. And he kept after me. And finally, I said, I'm leaving. That was my first night there. I went upstairs, started packing my clothes. Jerry, here, we said, Reggie, why? He's the pastor of that church. It's not my job to come in and clean up all that mess. I was invited there to preach. But if the pastor tells me to get off, I'm getting off. I'm out. He's the authority there. I'm not going to subvert God-ordained authority, all right? But he comes in there on Wednesday night, and he says this. Matthew 18, he talked about you go to him personally, then you take two or three, and he told how he went through that, and he brought it before the whole church. Anybody tell me what the problem with that is? The problem with it is in Bible, it's not there. Galatians chapter 2, I'll give you one. Galatians chapter 2, Peter, we read about it a while ago. They were in a meeting, public meeting, and Peter was dissimulating with the Jews against the Gentiles. He's playing both ways. The Bible didn't say that Paul called him apart over there. The Bible said that Paul rebuked Peter to his face before them all. When Jesus rebuked those leaders, did he say, hey, I want to talk to you a minute? He rebuked them before their face. When John, why did they hate Jesus so much? Why did they hate John the Baptist so much? Because he rebuked them before their face. When you're doing something openly and in public, there is a requirement for public rebuke. You can't take a public rebuke situation and turn it into a private to try to save your neck. Now watch this. Now I've done my research, okay? Lindell said that Alex Magala, yeah, he used to be and all that. We've all got a bad past. I can agree. Then he said this, but he got saved 10 years ago. He's married with children. And everybody's all this stuff. And then he talks about how the guy that took him to the airport, that Magellan witnessed to somebody there at the airport with a bold witness to Christ. There's only one problem with all this, that Magala got on and put a video on YouTube and said, I'm not married. I have not been saved. And he pulled the plug on Linville. And he said, they've tried to say that I'm saved. I'm not saved in the main, what you mean saved. I was sprinkled in the Greek Orthodox Church. That's our salvation. I am not married. I do not have children. You can say, I don't like you talking about this. That's what the problem is. Right. We've let this go and let this go and let this go and trying to be nice and trying to be understanding. Let me tell you where all this stuff comes to. Kansas City Star, Springfield News Leader. Here a while back, they supposed to have a lady that growed three toes. All they asked them for was some evidence. They said there's a bunch of ladies around her praying. None of them had a cell phone. I can tell you right now, if somebody's toes was growing, I'm going to get my phone out. Amen? All the Springfield Leader and all the Kansas City Star did was say, would you please give us some evidence that this really happened? We're not talking about anybody. Let me tell you what this does. This blasphemes the name of Christ. This hurts Christianity. Now what I'm going to ask for, Linville asked publicly over live audience for this Driscoll to, now Driscoll, I'm not a fan of his in no way, shape, or form, but he almost basically commanded him to repent publicly. I'm going to say this morning, I think John Linville needs to repent publicly for saying stuff about Magala that's not true and lying to his own congregation, thinking people's not going to find all this stuff out. And number one, here's what I want to know. I want to know, where did you find out about this Magala guy to have him put on a show at your deal? How'd you get hooked up with him? How'd you get acquainted with him? Where'd you find him at? Why did you have him come to a, quote, stronger men's conference? Why did you have a man there? I'm going to ask y'all something. Just be honest with yourself. And I realize we're at this church, but if I got up here this morning, and I don't care what I was trying to produce, Brother Ben, if I got up here and jerked my tie off and took my shirt off in front of this congregation, what would you do? You'd walk out that door, and I'll tell you, you ought to tell me what for when you leave.
That's a fact.
But they did that. It's an abomination. It's a stinking shame before our Lord Jesus Christ. But that's what we've come to in this country. And what they were doing was testing the waters. How much of this Baal stuff can we bring in? What will these men do? The men go back and say, well, you know, the guy was saved 10 years ago. No, he's not perfect, but man, he put on quite a show. Tell me what. I don't care if he was dressed in coveralls. What was that about? Swallowing a sword, climbing a pole. Yeah, upside down. You're right.
Yeah, lust of the flesh.
Yes, you got it deeper. You're exactly right. You lay. And some people have watched it. It's the most abominable thing you ever saw in your life. Yes. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about biblical separation.
Amen.
Yeah. Have no fellowship.
Right. Darkness.
The unfruitful works of darkness. Now you listen to me carefully. This morning. You may say, well, you're wound up. Yeah, I'm wound up. Because I am a preacher. And I'll just tell you something else. Elijah had to deal with 850 of these rascals. They were feeding at Jezebel's table. And I'm just being honest with you. Did you realize that at my age, how many realize when you get 60, a decade goes by fast? I mean, if you just wait, see how fast a decade goes. That at any time, at right now behind this pulpit, in the next 10 years, I'm going to be facing God.
Amen.
And I want to tell you kids something. You got up here and sung this morning. That's a blessing. And the boys look like boys.
Right.
And the girls look like girls.
Amen.
And you sung a song that didn't sound like come out of Nashville.
Right.
Amen.
And exalted our God.
Amen.
I just want to tell you, you're on the right track.
Amen.
Don't leave it.
Amen.
Don't sell yourself out to this garbage.
Amen.
And it all starts with wrong Bibles and wrong music.
Amen. Right.
And what troubled me was the people that went to it and clapping and ogling and oohing that guy like he's some woman on a pole.
Yep.
God helping me, I'm not, and John Linville, if you haven't listened to this, I'm not against you. You took a stand against yoga. You took a stand against the sodomites years ago in a vote up in Springfield. For all the people that's been saved through your ministry, I'm for you. I'm not against you, but you are headed in a wrong direction.
Amen. Amen.
And the worst thing yet is people that I know get on Facebook and justify this abomination. Defend it, sympathize with it, excuse it, and call this guy a Christian. Let me tell you, being called a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. And again, I ask this question. What on earth would you have somebody like that come?
Yeah.
Yep.
You can't tell me they didn't know what he did, was going to do before he got there.
Right.
Why would you invite these men in at $175, $200 a head? And put them in front of the show like that.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to be honest with you. My heart broken over this crazy thing. Because I'm telling these kids, these young people, they think this is church.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be a man.
Be a man.
Yep.
Evil communications corrupt good manners.
Right.
You don't run with the wrong crowd and they'll get in you. Paul warned of another Jesus, another spirit, and another gospel.
Amen.
And it looks to me like we're in the Exodus 32 chapter. Separation from the world unto God is automatic with salvation. God has ordained it to be so. That doesn't mean you or I are going to do everything right every time, that we're not going to fall and fail. But it does mean that His Spirit within us will deal with us, convict, lead us to repentance, and show us right from wrong. I want to say something to you, and I close today. This issue of separation is all the way through the Bible. I've read you many, many verses today about it. But I want to remind you that Jesus spoke of the parable of the sheep and the goats. You're going to separate them. He speaks to the wheat and the tares. He said, they're going to look, don't you bother them now, because he said they're going to look like it's all wheat, but it's just not. But he said, you leave them alone. I'll separate them at judgment day.
Amen.
Did you realize the rapture of the church is a separation?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Of the separated.
Yeah. Amen.
God's a God of separation.
Yeah.
Don't ever forget that. Did you realize that heaven and hell, the very discussion of it is a discussion of separation? And I want to tell you right now this morning, you cannot like me, you don't like my personality, you don't like the way I present things. That's fine. I don't like myself too often well. But I'm going to tell you one thing you won't accuse me of, and that's caring about your soul. I don't want you to die and go to hell. I don't want you deceived. I don't want you fooled.
Yep.
And I have a fear of the Lord, but I have a love of the Lord. I want to preach the truth of His word. I don't want to be deceived by this junk. But I'm going to say this to you. Of all the teachings and illustrations of the truth of separation that there is in the Bible, which is loaded, I want to close with the greatest picture of separation I know of in the Scripture. And that is that outside Jerusalem, at the Feast of the Passover some 2,000 years ago now, there was a great crowds milling around. Roman soldiers were high alert. Jews were there from all over the earth to observe the Feast of Passover. But over on a hillside called Golgotha, there's three crosses. And in the center, there's the cross of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On that center cross. Now watch this. And two men, one on either side. Christ separates men. Did you know what separates people in this world? Which side of the cross are you on? I didn't read it to you this morning, but in Exodus 32, if you go on into that chapter deeper, you'll find this happening. Moses called the men. He said, gird your swords on. And he said this statement, who is on the Lord's side, let him come unto me. And I believe it's 3,000, was it 3,000 men killed that day? And God said, watch this, I'm going to deal with this issue of not being separated. Someday, everybody listen to me, you're going to be separated. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's a day of separation coming. Separation is one of the most prominent biblical doctrines that pertain to our faith that there is. And this morning, if you're here today, well, I want to ask you a question. What side of the cross are you on? Are you on the side that trusts Jesus Christ as your Savior, believed on Him? Or are you over here casting it in His teeth? I'm just going to tell you something. This is honest truth. I have heard, and Danny, I'm not fishing for sympathy, but just please listen to me. I don't know that I've ever had the pain that I've had recently. I was laying there the other morning, and I mean, I just said, I got to go somewhere. Something's got to happen. I can't take this anymore. I was shooting like a cattle prod down my neck, my shoulder, my arm, and it was just like pulsing like that. I just couldn't take it. And I got in a truck, and I took off. But here's what I thought. In hell. He left up. I'm in torment in these flames. And I said to myself, Lord, I may never find relief from this pain here, but someday I'll find in this life, but someday I'll get out of this pain.
That's right.
But I said, Lord, I want to thank you that your Son died for me.
Amen.
And rose from the dead. And I thought about people who are in hell right now, folks, they ain't never going to get out of that pain.
Never.
And I thought to myself, to endure this kind of pain for all of eternity. No wonder the Bible said that there's weeping. I hate to admit this. I hurt so bad the other morning. I mean, it was like a cattle prod shooting through me that I cried. I was hurting so bad. And I kept thinking, what would it be to be in hell?
Yeah.
And never even have a hope of any relief forever. And I don't know who you are, don't know anything about you, but I don't want to tell you this much. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Amen.
We all need us forgiven.
Amen.
God gave His Son, Jesus, died in your place, shed His blood. Amen. Let me tell you something. I don't offer you today a pole climber.
Thank you.
I don't offer you a tank running over a bunch of cars. I don't offer you smoke coming off the stage. I don't offer you a band up here. I don't offer you a bunch of rock and roll and country western and all that. I don't offer you a rodeo and a clown show. I don't offer you that. But I tell you what I am offering you, eternal life through Jesus Christ my Lord. I'm offering you the forgiveness of sins through the blood of our Savior.
Amen.
And I tell you what, there ain't nobody having a better time going through this world than I am. If you're here today and you're not saved, you know what, I wouldn't leave this building without bowing my head and my heart before God and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I don't want to go to hell. Let me tell you what worship is about. It's about praising the Lamb of God that He died so I didn't have to go to hell. It's not about entertaining goats.
Come on.
Let's bow our heads, please, as the pianist comes.